Well, welcome to the online version of the message, the similar message that I'll be bringing Sunday morning in church. I hope and pray y'all can come to be in church, but if you're not, I am grateful and thankful that you're listening in today. I entitled my message today, By the Sea. You know, of course, I love the oldie songs, and Bobby Darin did a song, Beyond the Sea. But this particular thing I want to talk about is Capernaum by the Sea. And our scripture text is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. God's Word, New Living Translation. This is when the ministry of Jesus began. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. But instead of going to Nazareth, he went to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, which said, In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beyond the sea, oh no, it's beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in the Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who live in the land where death casts its shadows, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach. Turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Then we look at the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, Hey, come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and went with him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them to come too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. And in verse 23, Jesus traveled throughout the Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom. And he healed people who had every kind of sickness and disease. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, in today's world, when we think of a hub, we think of a multicultural epicenter. Like Delta Airlines, their hub is in Atlanta. Well, a multicultural district of arts and business and finance and excitement filled with diversity and change, multiple voices and tradition with a window into the world. We think of a place like New York and Miami, Los Angeles, or even London. Perhaps you know of a neighborhood in your own city. We do, and here in Tallahassee, a place that's swirling with cultural richness and divergence, and it's the place to be. Well, in Jesus' time, that place was Capernaum. Capernaum lay on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee along a very bustling Via Maris, which means the way of the sea. It was a trade route. The way of the sea, a busy road, traversed daily by merchants and traders and officials and visitors, which connected them to the northern and eastern countries like Egypt, passing directly through Israel. It was kind of like a toll road. You know, we got those toll roads in Florida. Well, this was like a toll road, similar, because the Romans collected taxes in the region for the highway passage, as well on the docks for the fishing industry. The city itself was a manufacturing center for olives and olive oil and other foods. You could hear a multitude of languages on the streets and on the docks, and news of all kinds of people traveling quickly through the region as traders, others passing through from Galilee to Judea to Egypt, or even places like Syria or Africa or Anatolia or Asia or Mesopotamia. The road provided passage from southern Tyre all the way to northern Damascus. It's a very historic area of the world, and really had a lot of significance, not only historically, but it had a lot of significance, which why Matthew mentions it in our scripture. Whereas 12 tribes of Israel ruled the region, in 722 BC, the northern kingdom was toppled by Assyria, and the area repopulated by foreigners. I like to say that word, foreigner. Soldiers have come through to the north by the way of Via Maris and had destroyed the northern strongholds. Well, the tribe of Zebulun and Naphtali, both bordering on the western side of the Sea of Galilee at that time, essentially just disappeared, displaced. They become integrated into the foreign cultures, forcibly swallowed up by foreign ways and languages and religions, and these were now mentioned as they were the lost sheep of Israel. Once upon a time, irresponsible shepherds, according to Ezekiel, had led Israel's sheep astray and weakened their kingdom. But God, I love buts in Scripture, God promised to someday send a Redeemer, a good shepherd, God's own self, who would search for the lost sheep and restore them to God. Now, this would happen at the place where it all began, in Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles, near Capernaum by the sea. Jesus' relocation from his family home based in Nazareth to this multicultural, religiously and ethnic mixed region of the northern Galilee was no mistake or coincidence. This was Route Central. Hear the silent voices of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali would be sought by God in the person of Messiah. To this end, Jesus chose 12 primary disciples, trained them as 12 apostles, and led them into the region after region in the north, searching for those who may still remain faithful and wish for redemption. This was no whim or spontaneous ministry. Jesus was a well-planned person, and he planned out the mission. But how would he do this, you wonder? Well, today, if you search for someone, you simply put in their DNA into Ancestry.com, and voila, you find your relatives. In fact, some of you may have seen the recent surprise of Julia Roberts, who found out that her great-great-grandfather, in fact, is not genetically a Roberts at all, but a Mitchell, due to an affair her great-great-grandmother had with a neighboring man. It's interesting when you do all that. Sometimes I don't know if I want to search my family tree, you know what I mean? But I'm sure that many have come across similar surprises as family secrets no longer bear weight in technologically or scientifically savvy world that we live in. But in Jesus' time, seeking lost sheep was a bit harder. Many current relatives of those who were assimilated 700 years before, countless generations early, had been thoroughly inducted into the non-Jewish customs of the religion and everyday life. They did not remember their roots, their Jewishness, or even their ancestors. Their knowledge of their own history may have been vague at best, but some of them held on. You know, God always leaves a remnant. Now, the most faithful carefully guarded the faith during the Assyrian conquest or the Babylonian takeover and later the Persian rule and had secretly passed down their traditions, though undoubtedly corrupt to a degree throughout the subsequent generation, Some had heard of this messianic prophecy. Some were simply fascinated by their ancestors and genealogy, or even more curious about the Jewish faith. But they would definitely be curious about this Jesus, because his message provide him the best opportunity to find him by putting his voice and message out there and letting them come to him. Jesus did sought the lost of Israel by throwing out his net wide enough to catch the attention of everyone and anyone in that region. Those coming and going, those who had moved to foreign areas, those who now identified themselves as Romans or Syrians or Phoenicians or otherwise, those who worshiped foreign gods, and those who worshiped in the one or two synagogues that was erected by the sea. Now he sought them from the trade routes, the industry, the vineyards, the hills. And he taught in public places or from his home near the Via Maris, where even with the moderate curiosity of people, they would come and see him. He taught from a boat on the sea itself. He taught from the shores and the docks, and he taught from the hillsides. He taught from the rooms in his own home. He taught in the synagogue. He taught and he healed as he walked along the road. He encountered countless people in whom something stirred when he spoke of the good news, salvation, and more importantly, redemption. Soon that word about Jesus teaching and proclaiming, baptizing and healing, spreading like wildfire up and down the way of the sea, across the borders into the regions which was entirely Gentile, as well as into the center of Judaism, Jerusalem. Now, while he drew the fascination of foreigners and Jews and Romans alike, the centrists from Judea watched carefully and very nervously. Ha ha! Now you got those disciples such as Simon and Andrew and Peter and John, who hailed from the successful fishing industry around the Sea of Galilee, and would understand Jesus's method. Fishermen, after all, at that time used a heavy, broad, wide net in order to catch an abundance of fish. And they would throw that net out indiscriminately and pull in the catch. We used to do a lot of net fishing around here before they outlawed it, but it was a good way to catch fish. But afterwards, they sort the fish, throw back the ones that doesn't require doing anything with, you know, sort of like undesirable sea creatures, and keep the remaining fish, searching for their prize catch. And the only way that they could ensure the largest possible catch of their favorite fish, tilapia, known today in the region as St. Peter's fish, would be to net all of the others in the process first. Now this was the essence that Jesus' evangelistic method would be. Shepherd, search, team method, if you would. Because he truly was the good shepherd. And he would pull in every sheep that he could. He would teach them all. Those who remained would become part of his flock. Those who he couldn't reach, he would not continue to pursue. He would start in Capernaum, his home base for communication, and he would proceed to teach, heal, and proclaim in every town along the way of the sea. Now, some came for the novelty, or if you would, or the entertainment of who he was. Some came for the food, you know. When the Christians gather, they eat. And if they hadn't ate, they would have never met. You know, that's something that we still do today. Some were simply just curious, downright curious. Many found his message hauntingly beautiful and exciting and even hopeful. They would again be accepted into the faith of their ancestors, but with a little different twist. For in searching for the lost sheep of Israel, he would also, as Ezekiel prophesied, become a light to all the nations of the known world. He would draw them all, accept them all as his sheep, and would redefine what meant to be Jewish, what it meant to be chosen, what it meant to be followers, and what it meant to be part of Israel. Well, this was the way of the sea in the beginning of the way of Jesus. You know, before they were called Christians in Antioch for the first time, they were known as the way. And Jesus would start a movement that was simply called the way, that would sweep through every country in the entire known world. A movement that was inclusive, revolutionary, inspiring, and for the powers that would be, very dangerous. He would call tax collectors working for Rome to be a part of his inner circle. Phoenicians and soldiers and radicals and trained students of the synagogue. He would teach Samaritans, you know, them outcasts, foreigners from Tyre and Sidon, and women and children. He would produce and pronounce the year of Jubilee and set God's people free to become part of God's diversified kingdom. No matter who they were, no matter what their history, no matter what their ancestry, or even what nation they were from. In doing so, he would set the world on its head and set the minds of the Jewish elite in Jerusalem toward worried surveillance. They watched him very close. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And they would need to watch him. They would need to watch him very, very, very carefully. And as we learn about Jesus' ministries in the years leading up to the time of Lent and his impending death, we need to understand deeply and earnestly the radical and unusual nature of Jesus' ministry and mission. His choice of ground zero at Capernaum by the sea was not lost on anyone. He had a mission to do, and it was God's mission to seek out the lost and shine the light of God on every nation of the known world. And he would not stop until he completed that mission. Chutzpah! Yeah, for sure. He had some chutzpah. Dangerous? Oh, yeah. But this is your heritage and my heritage. This is your Savior. Not the milquetoast, sugary, sweet, calm guy that we often depict in Christian art. But the fiercely determined, savvy, street-savvy, multilingual, disruptive leader of a movement that would change the world as people knew it. He would never give up on anyone. He would never stop looking for every single one of God's lost. Scared of a change or challenge? Don't like disruption? Then don't follow Jesus. But if you do, get ready for your world and your assumptions to change. Because Jesus is here and he lives within you through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. He's all about finding those sheep, and you're either with him or you're not. Today, just as long ago, all we have to do is look around to know that the lost, those who long for meaning in their lives and have no source to find it, make up 90% of our country alone. Are you ready to do some fishing? Some sheep searching? Then don't head down to your local watering hole or what we used to call, hey, let's go to the bar and talk, where everybody knows your name. Remember that television series? Well, go to the biggest multicultural center that you can find. That's where you'll find Jesus. Just waiting for you to join him in casting that net and finding those sheep. Jesus has never stopped. Will you keep on keeping on? Follow Christ, and the world will continue to go dim in the light of Jesus. of His glory and grace. Well, God loves you. I know it went a little long today, but I hope you got something out of it. And we're grateful that we can bring these messages to you on the online service. Have a wonderful day.